Welcome to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
He said this so he would fulfill prophecy. 700 years before Christ was crucified, Isaiah the prophet wrote these words. Isaiah said, one day this is going to take place. The Messiah is going to be crucified. And this is what Isaiah says in chapter 53, verse 12. He poured out his soul unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many. And look at this. And made intercession for the transgressors. Jesus made intercession. That's a big word, simply meaning he prayed for them. And that's what he did. Jesus fulfilled prophecy. The second significant thing you can write in your notes this morning is that Jesus modeled the importance of prayer. Jesus modeled the importance of prayer. Jesus was a person of prayer. We're told in Luke 5:16 that he often withdrew to get away to pray. Jesus started his ministry with prayer. After he was baptized, he went out into the desert for 40 days to spend time prayer and fasting with God. And here we see at the end of his ministry, he is still praying. He was a man of prayer. And that encourages us. We need to be people of prayer. If the Son of God was a person who sought God and prayed on a continual basis, how much more do we, who are not God, just frail humans, but have been given the Spirit of God, how much more do we need to pray to God and seek him? The third significant thing about these last words is that Jesus carried the Father's heart. Jesus carried the Father's heart as he prayed these words. What is the Father's heart? John 3:16. If you watched any football over the past few months, you probably saw the sign, John 3:16, and it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Note the whoever part. The whoever part is all inclusive. It does not discriminate. It doesn't say those who go to church. It doesn't say those who are nice. It doesn't say, you know, those who don't smoke, drink, or chew, or go with girls who do, or pick up an axe and chop off their neighbor's head. It says whoever. It is all inclusive, and Jesus is modeling that. And this is the encouraging thing to me. This is what I see. First of all, there is no one that's too far away from God. Do you know people in your life you think, man, there's no way God could ever get a hold of them? And they're just too rotten. They're too miserable. They're too nasty. You know, they're just so evil. There's no way. And yet, Jesus says there is no one too far away. These soldiers, these government rulers who just railroaded him, punished him, tortured him, he is saying, Father, forgive them. One of those men, a centurion, when he died, was an answer to the prayer when he realized this truly was the Son of God. There is no one that is outside of the grace of God. And maybe you've got a family, you have a friend, you know somebody, and you just think, you know, they're so horrible. Don't give up on them, because God the Father, he hasn't given up on them. We need to be a people that carry the Father's heart. And here's the other thing that these last words encourage me about under this point, is that even if I can't do anything, I can still pray. You have to realize Jesus, his hands are nailed to the cross. He can't use them to touch anyone and heal them anymore. His feet are on the cross. He can't go places and do good things. He's exhausted. He can hardly talk. He can't preach a message to all the people who are there. But what can he do? He can pray. And I don't know what's going on in your life. Maybe you've got a family member who says, don't talk to me again. Every time you do, it throws another roadblock up, and they're so defensive and offensive towards you. And you say, I can't do anything. Yes, you can. You can pray, and prayer makes a difference. God wants us to have this heart, his heart that prays for the lost. We need to be a people that are praying for lost people. And that's what Jesus did. Number four, take a look at number four. The last thing that's significant about this is Jesus revealed man's greatest need. He prays for the forgiveness of sin, and the forgiveness of sin is our greatest need. That's why Jesus came. That's why the night before the Last Supper, Jesus raised the third cup of the Passover meal, and he said in Matthew 26, verse 28, "This is the blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sin." If you're taking notes this morning, take a look there. When Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing," ignorance does not equal innocence. Just because they didn't understand, they were still guilty. That's why you and I need to pray for the lost. That's why we need to witness to them. Even if they don't understand how to get to heaven, they don't understand why Christ died, they will still be found guilty. And that's why we need to be a people that carry the Father's heart, that pray for them. Because everyone needs to be forgiven so they can have a relationship with God. Jesus was the channel of God's love. Take a look at your notes. He was the channel of God's love and forgiveness. And here's the thing. We're Christ's body, right? That's what it says in the New Testament. We are the body of Christ, so we are his hands. We are his feet. We carry Christ wherever we go. And as Christ's body, we are now channels of God's love and forgiveness. We receive his love and forgiveness, and we give it away to others. If we don't do that, who will? These words of Jesus communicate to me that he's not here anymore, and now it's my responsibility to be his channel of love, grace, forgiveness, and mercy to a lost and dying world. But you know, that's tough to do when people hurt us, isn't it? That's tough to do when people hurt us. And sometimes the greatest hurt comes at the hands of Christians, of people that love us. And, you know, I have found in my own life, sometimes the people I am most frustrated with and the ones who are most frustrated with me are my family. And that's sad that it should be that way, because we should love each other. And here's the thing. In a group this size, I can almost guarantee that there are some of you that you have been hurt and offended by another Christian. For some of you, it may be a parent. It may be a brother or a sister. It may be a child. Someone did something. There's some of you here today, in all likelihood, maybe you were molested by your father or an uncle or someone growing up. There's some of you here today, you have been lied about by another Christian, or you've been blackballed. You've been, you know, cast as the black sheep. You've been gossiped about. Some of you here this morning, there is so much pain and hurt, and you're even surprised you're here today. Maybe you didn't think you were going to be in church in a long time, and you find yourself here and you don't know why. And the reason is because someone in church, another supposedly Christ follower, did something to you. And it's been a long time since you've had any use for God or the church. No matter how much someone has hurt you, no one has hurt you as much as they hurt Jesus on the cross. When we just think of all that torture, all that pain that he went through, and he was completely innocent, none of us have the right to hold on to that. So how do we be this channel of love, this channel of forgiveness when someone hurts us? We're going to look at two things. Take a look at your notes this morning. The first thing is to pray for those who hurt you. Pray for those who hurt you. And if it's someone that's been a long time ago and you're still dealing with that hurt, be praying for them now. Who mistreated Jesus? In our story, who did it? The Roman soldiers. And what did he do? He prayed for them. We are to pray for those who hurt us. And here's the thing, just a side note, you only pray for good things, okay? You don't pray bad things. Oh, God, I pray that you would give them hemorrhoids out of their ears. No, you don't pray that. There was once a guy who was bit by a dog and he got rabies and he didn't go to the doctor soon enough. And by the time he did go, the doctor said, you know, I'm sorry you waited too long. And so this guy is just kind of down. And then all of a sudden he perks up and he begins writing a list. And he has this list of these names of people. And the doctor says, what's that? Are those the names of people you need to contact and, you know, tell them you love them or tell them you got to forgive them for something? He says, no, these are the people I'm going to go bite before I die. When someone hurts us, our natural reaction is to hurt them back. And I want you to think about the society that Jesus grew up in. Jesus was a Jew. He grew up in Israel. And the law, Jesus didn't come to do away with the law. He came to fulfill it. But the law said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. If someone, you get in a fight and they knock your tooth out, then you knock theirs out. If they take an eye, you take their eye. Jesus was in a society that taught tit for tat, take revenge, get your piece of meat. Also, he was in the Greco-Roman world, and the Romans had a god of revenge that they worshipped. And they would inflict 10 times as much pain on the person who hurt them. And so that's the society, that's the culture Jesus is in. Sounds a little bit like what we live in today. All the revenge. But Jesus didn't let this society of revenge and retaliation affect how he treated his enemies and those who hurt him. He was still praying good things for those who did bad to him. Take a look in your notes. Here's the thing. My prayer for others may or may not change them. You see, when you pray for other people, it doesn't mean necessarily they're going to get right with God. They're going to get saved. It doesn't mean they're going to say, you know what? You're right. I'm wrong. I apologize. That may happen, but it may not. Your prayer may or may not change them, but your prayer will always change you. Your prayer will always change you. Matthew 5:44, Jesus said, you have heard it said, love your friends and hate your enemies. That's easy to do, isn't it? Love your friends and hate your enemies. But now I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Who hurt you? Who has wronged you in life? Who's persecuted you? Who's done you dirty? Jesus said, whoever that person or persons are, pray for them. Pray for blessing. And you might be thinking on the inside, man, there's no way. There are no good, lousy, pathetic jerk. You know what? Tell God how you feel. God, this is how I feel about that no good, lousy, pathetic jerk. But God, forgive me. God, help me to forgive them. I pray blessings upon them. I choose to love them. Isn't that what Jesus has done for us? He prays blessings upon us. He has chosen to love us, chosen to do good to us. And that's what we need to do. We need to pray for others when they hurt us. There's a second thing in your notes. We need to pray for restoration. Pray for restoration, not just pray for good things and blessings, but pray for them because, you know, it'd be easy to say, yeah, God, bless them here on earth, give them all these good things, but don't let them come to know you. Let them burn in hell. Yeah, I want to get even someday. No, you pray for their restoration. Father, forgive them. They're in the wrong. They don't know what they do. Make them right with you. Make them see their need of a Savior. Help them to come into fellowship and relationship with you. Remember, we said the Romans worship the God of revenge. This is what Paul said to the Roman Christians. Romans chapter 12, verse 17 and 18. Repay no one evil for evil. If it's possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Did you catch that? As much as depends on you, live peaceably with everyone. And the reason that's so powerful is this. It may not be possible to live at peace with everyone. But we need to do everything in our power to try to have peace and reconciliation and restoration with others. Don't let revenge, don't let hate build up in your heart. Do what God calls you to do. He calls us to bless those who curse us, to do good to those who hate us, to love our enemies, and to pray for those who spitefully use us and persecute us. That's what God has called every Christ follower to do. And don't wait. Do it today. Do you have a marriage where it's not supposed to be? Don't just sit on the couch on your fanny and do nothing. Get up off the couch and begin to do the right things in your marriage. Is there a relationship with a parent or with a child that you're not connecting the way you need to? Start today by connecting and doing the right things. Kids, there's some of you here. You only have one set of parents and one lifetime to honor them. Start honoring them now. Paul said, man, when you honor your parents, it's going to give you a long life that will go well. So you know what happens if you don't honor your parents? You have a short life and it doesn't go very well. How many want a short life that doesn't go well? I don't see any hands up out there. I didn't think so. Maybe you've got brothers and sisters, and you're fighting over money, or you fought over money 10, 20 years ago. You know what? Stop it. Let it go. Give forgiveness. Maybe there's someone in the church, someone even sitting here today, that you just, the very thought of them, you're going, ugh. You're just disgusted with someone. You hold this grudge. Make it right with them. Be restored and pray for their restoration to God if they're not in relationship with Him. You say, how in the world do I do that? This is what Paul said to the Colossians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. He said, bearing with one another and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must also do. The Bible says, forgive as Christ forgave you. Let me tell you an ugly fact. Take all the wrong that the worst person in the world has done to you, the person who's offended you most, take all of the wrong they've done, multiply that times 100, okay? And it doesn't even come close to how much you and I have offended God. Because you see, it was my sin. It was your sin that caused Jesus to sweat drops of blood, to be arrested and stay up all night and go through a trial when he was an innocent man, to be beaten and hair pulled out and crowns of thorns punched, spit upon, whipped, nailed, crucified. And yet, despite what I did to him, he says, I love you. I forgive you. What a great God we serve. I want everyone to bow their heads and close their eyes this morning. Forgiving is so important because if we do not forgive, we will not be forgiven. Jesus said in Matthew 6:14, if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Friends, when mankind was at its worst, the Son of God was at His best, and He forgave. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing.
You have been listening to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please email us, casperfaith@gmail.com, or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation of Casper Faith Assembly, where relationships matter most.